We have begun a new year. But what will it entail? How will you respond to the sure challenges that will come to us throughout this year? How would you make the most of all the opportunities that you will have this year? And I want us this morning to think from the Word of God on the subject of making the most of 2021. We could think that it might be the worst year. It might be the best of years. And as I was thinking about this subject, I thought about some words of Charles Dickens from A Tale of Two Cities. He begins his book like this: "It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct the other way. In short, the period was so far like the present period that some of its noisiest authorities insisted on its being received for good or for evil." And he goes on to speak further. But we could add to such words ourselves. We could say of our time right now, it is the most opportune time. It is the most disadvantageous time. But it is the time in which God has sovereignly placed you and I. We are here because God has placed us here. We are not born at some other time. We are not born in another family. It is in such a time and place that God has made you. God has made you a husband in such a time. God has made you a wife in such a time, a father, a mother, a son, a daughter, or for that matter, grandparents, for such a time as this. And we want to think about this year, making the most of it, making the most of the opportunities. How do you make the most of the opportunities that 2021 will bring? That word opportunity, what does it mean? It is a suitable word. It is about a time or a set of circumstances that make it possible to do something. And we are talking about making the most of the opportunities this year. It is to discern the signs of the times, our Lord Jesus Christ said, as he rebuked the Pharisees. Do you discern the signs of the times? Do you know what is happening in this world? Do you know what's happening in your life, in your soul? Where are you with God this morning? Boys and girls, children, young adults, where are you with God this morning? Don't be a person who at the end of 2021, if the Lord lets us live so far, hang your head and say, where did that year go? Don't be the person who missed so many things that came your way, so many limited opportunities that came your way. Don't miss the opportunity of knowing your Maker God. As you hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't miss out in hearing it, in believing it, in trusting in the Lord, to know yourself, to know how needy a person you are, to know yourself that how much you need to depend on the Lord, not on yourself. Didn't you trust in yourself last year? Didn't you trust in your own efforts? And if you said, if I just studied harder, worked harder, if I just did this for my family, or if I just depended more on the government's promises? And where are we now? Are you not discouraged by those things? Are you not disheartened by those things? Where are your hopes and dreams? If you are a Christian, don't be the person who missed the opportunities that you have this year to give that vision, that hope, that joy in the gospel to your spouse, to your children. I don't want to be a person who wished I could turn back the clock and do it right this time, for the second time. And how many of us this morning, we look back and said, if I only began again, if I only started my marriage right again, if I only started raising my children right again. Well, God has placed you here now. God has given you another beginning of another year. We don't get second chances in life. And my friend, if you're not converted, you won't get a second chance. This is all you've got. And what will it profit you, the Lord Jesus said, if you gain the whole world? If last year was the most successful year in your life, if you had gained it all and you lose your own soul, what would it profit you? If you be like that man in that parable that was going to build up more barns and to store more of his treasures and things. And then for the Lord say, this night, thy soul is required of you. Your life is moving fast. Eternity is nearer than you think. Your time with those around you moves faster than you think. And this morning, from these passages that we read together from Matthew 4 and Esther 4, I want to say four things as you think about this year. First of all, I want to think of the time to know Christ is right now. The time to know Christ is now. Don't miss that opportunity. And I want to look at verse 16 of Matthew 4 for that. But secondly, the time to live for Christ is right now. Not just the time to know Christ, but to live for Christ is right now. And I want to take Esther chapter 4 and verse 14 for that. And then I want to, for two further points, I want us to look at some examples of opportunities that were lost by individuals. And then fourthly, look at opportunities that were gained. Those who used up the opportunities that God had given them. So let us think on those things, friends, this morning, and pray to God that God would bless his word to you. So the first thing I want us to think about is from verse 16 of Matthew chapter 4. The time to know Christ and his salvation is right now. Why is that? Because it says in verse 16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. It's present tense. It's saying that this light of Jesus Christ has come. And my friends, this is the opportunity. When the light comes, when the gospel comes, when salvation comes near to us, to miss that opportunity of not knowing the Lord, how sad that will be. The Bible speaks to us that now is the time to know the Lord. And now is the time to follow him. Now is the time to receive his eternal life and escape God's wrath and condemnation, which is coming for our sins. And the good news that the Bible is saying to us here, Jesus Christ, this light of the world has come, shining in the lives of people whose lives are dark, shining in dead souls of individuals and making them live. He came to people who were sitting in darkness, in spiritual darkness. He came to save them. This year, the Lord comes to us as he did last year. And it is time to know the Lord. The people, it says in verse 16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. This is a reference to the inhabitants of Galilee. They were sitting in darkness. Isaiah tells us, this is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 9. And it's a fulfillment of it, of course. The Bible fulfills everything that Jesus Christ was promised to do. Jesus Christ fulfilled them. And will fulfill those other things that are still to come to pass. But here is a prophecy that Isaiah gave so many hundreds of years before the coming of Christ, that the Messiah will come and walk amongst those people who were sitting and walking in their lives, and that they were living in a spiritual darkness. Yes, in the midst of religion. They were being very upright in their lives, but they were ignorant of God. There was this blindness. They were living in error, wrong ideas about God and wrong ideas about themselves. And they didn't see how sin is so condemning. They were living in unfaithfulness. Yet, God, by his grace, gave them his life. It says, they saw a great light. Jesus Christ himself, who came as the light into the world, he talked with them. Does he not talk with you from the Bible? Does he not come to you in the preaching of the Word of God? Jesus Christ is talking to you. It's not the preacher. When God's Word is faithfully preached, it is the Lord in our midst speaking. He preached to them. He opened the eyes of their understanding to see his glory. People were amazed. They said, "We have not seen anything like this in Israel. No man spake like this man. No man died like this man. This is truly the Son of God," they said of him at the cross. And he opened their eyes to know him and to be saved by him. The people which sat in darkness, it says, saw great light. Do you see the great light of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the opportunity that you have. The gospel comes to you every Lord's Day. Praise God for that. And then it says, "And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." The same persons who were sitting in darkness sit also in the region of death. We don't know what tomorrow will bring forth. Life is so short. Yesterday, I heard of a man whose cousin had died in his 20s. A heart attack at the age of 20. No one expected it. We don't know what tomorrow will bring forth. We don't know if this is our last year. We don't know if this is our last Lord's Day. These people were sitting in the region of death. And spiritually, if we are unconverted, we are dead in trespasses and sins. There is no spiritual life, as it were. This relationship with God is not there. And such people, if you are still unconverted, you are in the danger of what the Bible calls the second death, eternal death. But these people had an opportunity. Something happened that time, for just a period of time. They had this opportunity because the light sprung up. There was a light that came. That is, Jesus Christ came, shone into their darkness, shone into their deadness, like the rising sun. Oh, to see the sunshine. How wonderful it is. Even if it is cold that day and you see the sun rising, how beautiful, how joyful. And friends, none of these people were seeking. None of these people were asking for this light, but Jesus Christ came. He gave them another opportunity. They were not looking for opportunities. Their minds were all over the place. But Jesus Christ came rising up like the sun. And they didn't deserve it. They didn't desire him. They didn't expect him. But he came still with healing, the Bible says, in his wings. And he did something for them. He healed them, the scripture says. He cured them. He caused this darkness and this fog to pass. Has he done that for you? Can you now recognize, can you see how wonderful the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel is? Do you see how awful sin is and how black and awful and evil it is? And you see, I don't want that. I don't want that all of my past life. I want to go to Christ. I want to be in his presence. I want to have his eternal life. I want to have his salvation. But he came. He came to them. And there were those who took up the opportunity. And they followed him. And you see how he came to those disciples. And he said, "Follow me. Follow me. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And friends, when we think about these things and we think about now the opportunities that you and I have, think about how my sin, your sin is so great. And my sin without the Lord Jesus Christ is so dark since I was born. But Jesus Christ, the light of the world, has come to be our Savior. And he was condemned instead of us. Our sins were laid upon him. This sin that destroys us. It brings darkness and death to us. It is like a poison that enters into our veins and it destroys us and sucks the life out of us. Like the blood-sucking leech. That's what sin is. But Jesus Christ laid his life down on the cross and was punished instead for all who would trust in him and who would repent and of their sins and those who would follow him. You see, in Matthew 4 and verse 17, it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he goes on and says to the disciples, follow me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Repent. Yet it begins with repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Have we really repented? Do we really know what repentance is? We need to know and feel how awful, how evil our sins are. That we are really blind in our sin and are constantly offending and hating God in our sins. We can be so selfish. If you are honest with yourself, you can say, how selfish I am in all sorts of things in my life. How I feel I deserve this and I deserve that, and I get easily upset when someone doesn't give me the things that I want because I think I deserve it. That is sin. And repentance is recognizing that, sorrowing over that, grieving over your sin, feeling miserable that you have sinned against the Holy God, the one who has made you. And another part of repentance is hating that sin. It's not just that being sorry about it and just carry on with it. It's about hating that very sin. And then fleeing from it. See how evil it is and see how damning it is. And say, I don't want it. I run away from that to Jesus Christ. I don't want to continue in that life. And so that is what it is. The Lord Jesus Christ says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus came in that time, gave that opportunity at that time to those people in Galilee. They didn't get more opportunities. This opportunity of Christ coming to us is not forever. It is for a period of time. But praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ comes to us still. As long as you have breath, and you might, at the moment, you might go and you forget all about these things. And maybe there is a child here, maybe there is an adult here, and in a year's time, you would be far from God. Don't forget what you have heard. Don't forget that as long as you are alive, there is hope. And those parents whose children are far away from the Lord, as long as they are alive, there is hope, because Jesus Christ can come to them in their darkness. And my prayer should be, your prayer should be, if you are not converted, Lord Jesus, shine into my dark heart. Shine into my dead and cold heart this year. Save me this year from my sin. Don't let me die in my sin. But if I am to die this year, let me die as one of thy children. So if you are a non-Christian, this is how you can make the most of this year, by coming to know the Lord. Because as you are here and you hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have this opportunity. He's coming amongst you, and he is to be received by faith and repentance. So that's one thing we learn here. The Lord Jesus Christ came to those who were sitting in darkness, who were sitting in the region of death. But the second thing is this year, to make the most of this year, is to think and to know that it is the time to live for Christ. The time to live for Christ is right now. With all that's happening in your life, this is the time to live for Christ. It's not for another year, not for when things get better. It is now. As it is, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation, but also now is the day of service. Now the Lord says, come and follow me. Come and be fishers of men. Come and rejoice in my presence. Come and defend the cause of Christ. And that is something we learn in Esther chapter 4. If you turn to that, to Esther chapter 4, there are famous words of Mordecai to Esther. He says this at the end. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Here Mordecai says to Esther, and it's a word for us this morning, that you are sent for such a time as this. You see, Esther had been raised in a godly home under Mordecai, but in a wicked world. In a godly home, but in a wicked world. If you are being raised in a godly home, praise God for that. If there are influences around you that is pointing you, if there are parents who even nag you about Christian things, praise God for that. You may not have that forever. You will certainly not. But this Mordecai raised Esther. All around was wickedness. All around was paganism. The things you see today, there's nothing new under the sun. But they were there in that pagan land of Persia, the Iran of today. Mordecai had raised Esther to know Jehovah, to know the Lord. And praise God, the Lord saved her. Because she responds in a godly way. And when all were set for the destruction of the Jews, you see, there was an enemy. Haman was the enemy of the Jewish people. And everything was planned, prepared to destroy that people. And everything seemed to be dark, everything seemed to be black, everything was hopeless. And when the plan of their demise was already set, Mordecai comes. And he continues to lead, he continues to instruct, he continues to exhort his family, and especially here in Esther. Friends, don't give up instructing. No, don't give up exhorting your children in the right way of the Lord. Don't stop. This is the opportunity this year to not to stop seeking to do good for the kingdom of God. Haman is this enemy of the Jews, and we have Satan against our souls, wanting to destroy us. He had planned, he had paid, and he was expecting the destruction of God's people. And so it is today in your life and in the lives of those around you. Satan, as the Lord Jesus Christ said, desires to sift you like wheat. That's what he wants to do. He's the enemy of your soul. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your marriages. He wants to destroy your relationship with your children. He wants to destroy the minds and hearts of your children, ruin and mar a testimony of a local church. That's what he wants to do. He seeks to divide you by any means, small or great. My friends, you look at all of these things and you might feel worried, sad, concerned, but what an opportunity this year is going to be. Here is how you make the most of the opportunities for your family, for the church, for this society. This is the time to shine forth. This is the time to stand for Christ. This is the time to serve the Lord. This is the time to give glory to God and to praise Him more than ever before, not less. Not to retreat. No, we take further, we seek to be more in the scriptures. We seek to be more in prayer. We seek to gather together more and seek God's face more. We seek to stand up as Esther did ultimately and be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ and fight harder for the Lord. Not with guns, not with swords, but in his presence, in prayer. Here is an opportunity. Don't miss the opportunity this year. Don't let all those things that's happening in your life right now or things that you think might happen later on to rob you from the opportunities that you have. Prove the Lord this year more than ever before. Trust him this year more than ever before. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Don't let your life be just a life that you look back and say, what did I do? What did I do? But whatever is done for Christ will last. If you spend it with the Lord, you won't look back and say, what did I do? You will look back and say, what did Christ do? And you see his hand in it all. Doing all kinds of things that you never expected. Have we not experienced it in the last year? Answers to prayer in things that we never thought would happen, did happen. The Lord somehow miraculously kept us, provided for us. When you were feeling so sad and so down and you couldn't sleep, how is it that you're here now? How is it that you sing God's praises now? Is it not because of God's goodness to you? But here is another year to prove God, to be encouraged. This is why we need the Word of God. This is why we need to gather together, because we need these things be brought before our attention again and again. But let me mention two more points. The third thing I want to say is this: the opportunities that could be lost. I want us to look at some of the lives of individuals in the scriptures, and there are so many, sadly. So many people. Some of them did even profess the name of the Lord, and yet they missed their opportunities. And I want to mention them because I don't want this to happen to you this year. Think about Eli, 1 Samuel, a godly man. Great beginnings. Great works he did for the Lord. He was the high priest who also judged Israel. He was a good man in himself, but his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they were wicked. How did they become like that? Why did he not look after them? Why did he let them just carry on as they were without any kind of chastisement or exhortation? Why did he not stop them? This is the problem, you see. We just let things happen. You see, there is another agenda. If you don't have an agenda for your families, there's other people who will have agendas for them. And here was a man, Hophni and Phinehas were his two sons, and he lost them. What opportunities he lost in the raising of them, we don't know. But Eli knew that these were ungodly sons. And you read 1 Samuel for yourself, the first few chapters of it for yourself, and read it and find out. And these two men were ungodly, and yet he let them do things. He let them to minister in the temple. He reproved them at times, but it was not appropriate because it was so gently done. It was too late. And so it was ineffectual. He didn't do anything. He had missed his opportunity, you see, much earlier in their life. They had become disrespectful towards him. Are your children disrespectful towards you, parents? You deal with it. You seek to help them to see how evil it is to be disrespectful. Those Hophni and Phinehas would not listen. Don't think things will get better if you just brush it under the carpet. It won't, except by the grace of God. There was no discipline used. They ought to have been stopped. They ought to have been condemned according to the law of God. And think about the losses that came regarding Eli. Eli would see his country being invaded by foreign ungodly enemies. That's the consequence of it. He didn't use the opportunities that he had. He would see the ark of God taken. He would see his two sons in one day die. He would see that the high priesthood, that family line, would be transferred to another family. Yet with all of these opportunities, he was a good man. One Puritan put it like this, that his concern was more about the ark of God ultimately. His heart was broken before his neck. If you remember, he fell back when he heard about the ark being stolen, being taken away. He fell backwards and he broke his neck and died. Not over the news that his children had died. No. So friends, take God and his service and worship and witness in this world seriously, within your family seriously. That's something for us to learn about this opportunity lost. Another case, Samuel. Another godly man, Samuel. You read about him in 1 Samuel chapter 8. We won't take time to read these things. But again, he had a godly upbringing, didn't he? He had a praying mother. How wonderful. God answered that woman's prayers. He had a godly father as well. And then he was under Eli. He served the Lord. He knew the Lord from his youth. What a good thing it is. What a wonderful thing it is for children to be saved. Children, pray for your own salvation. But there was a weakness in the way, again, he was with his family. Isn't that our trouble, parents? We are so weak, we can easily judge other parents' way of doing things, but ourselves, we fail. We need the Lord, don't we? What Samuel do? He appointed his two sons to be judges. When judges were only appointed by the Lord, but he appointed them. He shouldn't have done that. And his sons were taking bribes. They were judging unjustly. And that became an excuse for the elders of Israel and for the people of Israel to say, we don't want judges anymore. We want kings. You see, it's because of Samuel. He just let things happen. He just appointed these sons to be in those places. And you have a myriad of others, examples of missed opportunities. You think about Saul. What a sad story that is. The story of Saul and the opportunities he had. He had the word of God. He had the prophets. He had the Lord speaking to him. And yet he missed all the opportunity. He became proud in his own heart. Not at the beginning. At the beginning he was quite humble. But then he became proud. He thought highly of himself. He thought, I will do my own thing. I will worship God the way I want to worship God. And he took things into his own hand. He didn't trust in the Lord. He missed out with God. You think about Absalom. We were reading of that this morning in our family worship. And again, that young man, wonderful beginnings. And yet a sad end. He became so full of himself. He became so arrogant and cold. Are you cold this morning? Or do you listen with joy in your heart? And thankfulness to God. Think about Judas. How he was. What an opportunities he had. He had the gospel preached to him. But not only that, he had Christ with him. He was enabled to serve in various ways. But where was his heart? The Lord Jesus said, there is a devil here in our midst. And that was Judas. And what happened? He went and hanged himself. He never sought repentance. He never sought the Lord. Oh, there are so many in the scriptures. You have Demas with the apostles. And he had the word of God. He had the epistles. He could talk to the apostles. He could hear them pray. He could hear them preach. And what happened? He looked at this world. He saw, well, I could have such and such a thing. I could have such and such a thing. If I only spend more time with such and such an endeavor. And have a little bit of religion. And then the Apostle Paul ends up by saying, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. All of these things we can think of, and it can be discouraging, but they're all warning signs. The Bible is full of these warning signs for us. And we need to hear that. I need to hear it. But then think about, very briefly, the opportunities that you have in the scriptures that were gained. People who used up opportunities against all odds. And this morning you might think, there are all these things against you. You look at last year and you think, your heart is broken. So many things. You feel to yourself, you haven't had any ups. It's all been downhill. Think about others in the scriptures. A few examples let me give you to those people who used up opportunities that they had. When, and as we read earlier on about Christ coming as the light in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the region of the death, as we read about Esther, in the midst of all the opposition, she said, no, I will stand. I've been sent at such a time as this. Let us pray, let us fast, and I will go to the king. And the king put forth his scepter and received. And we know how the Lord then intervened and saved those people. But we have other examples in the scriptures. You think about Hannah. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, we read of this godly woman, Hannah, making the most of her opportunities in life. Even though naturally, everything was against her. Yet the Lord was not against her. Ask yourself, is the Lord, am I doing something that the Lord is against me? But if you are seeking to live before the Lord is not against you. And in the midst of all the things that she did not have, she said, but I have the Lord, and I have the privilege of prayer. I can pray. I can pray. That's at my disposal. And so she prays and she vows that if God was to give her a son, she will bring him up in her womb. She will nurture him. She will then return him to the Lord to serve in the temple. And you think, here is this woman. She's nothing. And she's asking for a miracle. And the Lord answers that and gives that miracle. So the opportunity is there. The opportunity, the example is a praying woman, a praying wife. Are you a praying man, woman? Are you seeing yourselves, you think, I have children, I've been blessed with children, but they are not converted. Would you give more time to pray this year? That's the opportunity you can use up. Would you influence them in a better way? And she had a supporting and loving husband too. You see, to vow to God to give your only child to the Lord's service, and you don't even know that you'll have another child. You see what it is? The risk that she was taking, and then to have a husband who would support you in that. Because Samuel was his son as well. And he was going to lose his son. But he knew this was of the Lord. So there is the opportunity of prayer. There's opportunity. She had gone to the temple. She was praying. If you read the passage, her lips moved, but there was no sound because her heart was praying. And the Lord heard even the silent prayers. So she used the means of grace. She was where the word of God was. She was where prayer was being offered. Let me say something to parents. That how this year is a year of opportunity for you. Lay everything before the Lord. Lay your children before the Lord every day. Seek to do them good more than ever before in spiritual things. One of the Puritans, William Secker, he wrote these words. I'll just quote them to you. He says, a mother should be more careful of her children's pious breeding than she should be fearful of her children's worldly bearing. Take heed lest these flowers grow in the devil's garden. Though you bring them out in corruption, yet do not bring them down to damnation. Those are not mothers, but monsters, who while they should be teaching their children the way to heaven with their lips, are leading them to hell with their lives. Godly training is the best library you can give them living, and it is the best legacy you can leave them dying. You let out your efforts to make them great. Let up your prayers to make them godly, that before you die from them, you may see Christ live in them. Think about these things, friends. Think about, this is all talking about opportunities. You have these opportunities now. I said, are they alive? Are there people in your lives who are unconverted and they're alive? Are there people who are walking away from the Lord and they're alive? Then this is the year of opportunity. Don't look at all the bad things, the sad things. They may be far from God, but God is not far from them. And God is not far from you. So be encouraged. Think about Lois. Think about Eunice, who raised up Timothy in a pagan land. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, you read about them. Timothy became a faithful minister of the gospel. This gospel which was worthy of all acceptation, Paul says. He's raised in a godly home. His father was Greek, and we don't know much about him, but his grandmother Lois, his mother Eunice, were godly Jewish women. What an opportunity they had with that boy. Trained him up in the knowledge of the scriptures that made him wise unto salvation. We read in the scriptures, he wasn't physically that well or strong, but his gifts and graces God used mightily. What an opportunity those two women had. They didn't have much. And you might say, I fail in this, I fail in that. Which one of us don't? But you have the Lord. If you know him, then you have everything. This is the year of opportunity, not a year to be lost. So he received the best of trainings. He received the best use of, they used their time the best. And God blessed all of these things. Think about Stephanus, another example. A man who didn't lose opportunities. He heard the Apostle Paul preach the gospel. He trusted in the Lord. And then his whole household believed. And then, and they were in the midst of paganism. They were in the midst of idolatry. In the midst of all kinds of wicked things all around them. No different to our days. But he sought the Lord and the Lord found him. And his family too, his wife and children too. And what do we read? In 1 Corinthians 16, this is the testimony that they left behind in the scriptures. The Apostle Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know that the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. What is this saying? They used up the opportunities. They came to know Christ, and then they addicted themselves not to entertainment, not to holidays, not to doing all kinds of things that we would see all around us, but to service within that local assembly. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. What a wonder it is. It would be a great thing to see families serving the Lord in various ways. You could think, our time is gone. You could think about Peter, James, and John. You could think about Matthew. You could think about Nathaniel. Opportunities came to them because the Lord came to them. The gospel came to them. This light came to them. The Lord says, come and follow me. What did they do? They were in the midst of their busy time. They were mending their nets. They were with their father. They were under a tree. There were all kinds of things in the midst of all sorts of things. They had different backgrounds and education. But the Lord came to them. Does the Lord come to you? What? How many sermons will you hear this year? I don't know. How many opportunities will you have to read the scriptures and to see this is God speaking to me, saying, come and follow me. Friends, I look with great hope and expectation. I look with great hope and expectation because we are praying for conversions. We're praying that God would deal with those who hear the word of God from this pulpit and who are yet not saved, that God would say. And as the Lord says, I have heard thee in a time accepted. May 2021 be a time accepted. and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What an opportunity. So these are some things, friends, for you to think about. These are some warning signs for you to consider. These are some examples for you to be encouraged by, to think there is an Esther. But greater than Esther, greater than Mordecai, there is Christ who comes into our darkness, who comes even this year to our homes, to this chapel, to speak to us. Take up the opportunities to hear the word of God. Take up the opportunities to privately pray, to gather at 10 prayer meetings, to seek to be a faithful witness to those around, to tell others about the gospel, share the gospel. Keep a joyful and worshipful home, and Lord's days too, to keep the Lord's day in a happy state. Worship the Lord daily. Cultivate in your own lives an atmosphere which is full of thanksgiving and rejoicing, to be a blessed and happy home, to be a blessed and happy office where you're working. Everything is unhappy. People are coughing and spluttering and people are complaining. But may your office be full of thanksgiving and a blessing to be with you when people come into your presence. Rejoice always. Tonight we'll think about contentment, Christian contentment from Philippians. Have that kind of an atmosphere around you. These are times, testing times. These are difficult times, but they could be the best of times. They could be the most blessed times of the Lord. These could be the times foreshadowing of things to come, for good or for ill. So prepare yourself. Whatever may come, things might get even worse in the world. Who knows? But make sure you are in the presence of God. Make sure you know the Lord. You know His forgiveness. Make sure you know the gospel. What opportunities you have. You might say, I wish I was born in a different time and place and family. I wish I had a different husband. I wish I had different children. I wish I had a different wife. I had a different kind of job. You have these wishes. But you think to yourself, but the Lord, if He's not in any of these things, I'm not blessed. If I have everything that I want just right, and if the Lord is not there, it is never going to be right. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. So seek Him, obey Him, follow Him. Have a sword and trowel in your hand. Both be looking to go forward and to build up as well. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. May God bless these things to us.